Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Again, back to our original time period for today, the one that we started 1 to 3 p.m. Appreciate you hanging out with us today and every day, no matter what time on. We're always happy to hang out with you. We do have a Twitter account. If you haven't followed it, you can follow us there at Blaine and Mickey. By the way, people are going gaga over our logo. I posted a little post on Facebook, my personal Facebook, to remind people, hey, we're going back to 12 or 1 to 3 tomorrow, but you can check out the new show before then. And several people had never seen the logo, and they just went nuts over it. So we do have a fun logo. Appreciate our guy Rich here at the station putting that together. We asked a question yesterday, Blaine, and we got some good responses to this on our Twitter account. Should teams unretire numbers for players who join their organization? And I put, like J.J. Watt in Arizona, are there times where exceptions should be made, or should numbers stay retired? We asked this because J.J. Watt is going to wear number 99. The gentleman who...
Peyton Manning did that at Denver, correct, too, right?
He did. And the original quarterback for the Broncos was a guy named Frank Trpucka, and he wore number 18. And he gave Peyton his blessing when Peyton got there and said, you can have this number. This can be your number. So... J.J. Watt.
When somebody says that, though, because what is the player supposed to say? Like, oh, no, you can't wear my number. That's my number, man. It was retired. You can pick another number, though, Peyton. You can go wear 19. You know, Unitas was pretty good. You know, he just wasn't in his jersey, you know. So, I mean, when you ask a player whose number's retired, I mean, I'm sure they look at it as an honor, but what else can they really say? Have you ever heard of, a retired jersey? Probably saying somebody saying no.
I have not. And the family, right? And the family of the gentleman who wore 99, he's been passed away now for a while. They said it was fine if J.J. Watt wore number 99. We can get to some of these poll results later, but the overwhelming response from Blaine and Mickey listeners was no, you shouldn't under. It's retired for a reason. Don't unretire it. So people had real strong feelings about this.
Yeah, we got to ask Teresa Walker about it.
Yeah, she joins us now as unmuted, locked and loaded, the Hall of Famer, Associated Press reporter Teresa Walker. So J.J. Watt is going to wear number 99. The gentleman whose family who wore it, and I've got it written down in my notes, the guy who wore number 99, he's a College Football Hall of Famer, not a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He was close, but he didn't quite get there. But anyway, four times All-Pro. His family told J.J. Watt, that's fine. We'd be honored if you wore his number 99. It's retired now. A lot of people don't think that should be the case. What say you, Teresa Walker? Once a number is retired, should it be unretired?
Well, I think they did it the right way. I mean, the family signed off on it. Although, let's be honest, you know, the Cardinals come to you and say, hey, J.J. Watt wants to wear, you know, your loved one's number. What do you say?
Marshall Goldberg is his name. Yes,
exactly. Put it this way. Say if in 15 years the Titans get somebody, a great quarterback, and signs with them and he wants number 9. Okay. That's retired. 27 for a great running back. That's where the challenge comes in, guys, because, you know, in this case, this person played long enough ago that, and let's face it, I've watched the NFL since the mid-70s. I've covered it since 1997. I didn't know that name. Okay. Yeah. So, but I think it all depends on the number you're trying to unretire. And, you know, so if you're wanting that hard and fast rule, guys, I think it's going to be, it's like a guy walks into the locker room and there's a number that's available, but it's another guy's. Everything's negotiable, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think you're right on to a point. It made me think about it deeply. You saying, you know, you didn't really cover the previous gentleman there at Arizona, he's passed away. I think it is about, you know, the frequency. Like if Derrick Henry would have come to the Titans and got drafted and asked Eddie George for his number, and that was his number in college, that was his number in high school, I think that's a little different. I might have said, nah, as an organization, and not even to put him in that situation, right, that he's still relevant and he's still alive and he's still going to be around here. I think we're going to have to move you to another number. So I think a lot has to do with that. I think T, that's why she's the Hall of Fame writer there. Hit it right on the head.
And that's the thing. I mean, you know, if somebody goes to the Yankees and they ask for number three, they're going to look at him and say, no, no.
Right.
And that
people are like, who is that?
Exactly. Some numbers will always stay retired, but the numbers for guys who maybe, you know, maybe they played defensive line, you know, somebody in 20 years might want, you know, a number that was held by Robert Brazil. You know, it's like, it's all a matter of time and place and player.
J.J. Watt found his time and his place and his dollar figures. We're talking about him. We may as well lead with that, Teresa. He goes to Arizona. No one's talking about Arizona. Then you see the financials and you think, oh, I get it now. Arizona makes a lot of sense financially because that's probably more money than he could have gotten anywhere else.
Well, I'll just say this. I mean, everybody wanted the Titans to try to get him because we see the gaping need that they have at pass rusher. But after seeing how much money they spent last season just go down the drain, right. I've got, if I'm a Titans fan, you would have liked to have had him. But no, it's okay not to. Okay. And here's the challenge, though. You know, John Robinson made it very clear last month when he talked to us that, yes, he understands pass rusher is up there. They can talk about affecting the quarterback and doing all those things, but they need somebody who can help Jeffrey Simmons, who can help Harold Landry, who can just flat out get to the quarterback. We saw it in the NFC Championship game. We saw it with Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett. We saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, you have to be able to, when it's third and nine, you have to have a guy who can get there and put the quarterback on the ground. It's the easiest way to keep him from completing a pass. I mean, they haven't come up with anything better yet. So, you know, so at this point, you know, let's face it, with all the guys that are going to start being cut here in the next week or so, if I'm John Robinson, you know, his A plan, you know, if A plan was J.J. Watt, you know, he should probably have a plan through Z of the alphabet to make sure that they're ready for what's going to be a unique offseason unlike any other. There's going to be some pass rush guys hit this market, and they're going to have to be ready to jump and with a deal and try to, they've got to be smart shoppers here. So there's going to be some chances for bargains, and it's okay. Maybe he gets two or three guys instead of maybe that one.
And Therese Walker's on with us. Before I give you to Blaine, though, you just said something. I'd written this down. Diana Russini tweeted earlier. She talked to an NFL coach this week. He said there will be a massacre all around the league talking about players getting released with contracts that they just can't handle financially. There's going to be all kinds of people available.
Oh, exactly. And that's the thing. You know, we heard the talk about the salary cap. And when you look at, you know, Spot Rack, you can see that there's, I think the Titans are like 19th in most cap space available, and they've got 5 million. And, you know, and they've got a bunch of guys who are hitting the free agency market, which even if you don't bring, you know, get an extension with a Corey Davis or find a way to keep a Jonnu Smith, you got to replace them, which means you've got to clear some cap space. And there's only so much you can do by reworking contracts. So, you know, yeah, get ready. I mean, we're so used to the tampering period being the start of free agency. And then it was, you know, and then there's, oh yeah, the new league year. Well, get ready. It's a whole, you know, the pandemic is bringing us yet another phase of free agency. And that's the, you know, call it a, you know, bloodbath if you want, because there's going to be a busy transaction wire over the next couple of weeks.
Joined by Teresa Walker at Teresa M. Walker on Twitter, covering all things sports and really all things. She tweets all kinds of news and other items from the Associated Press.
Well, T, you're a lot smarter than us. So I'm going to make you the GM of the Tennessee Titans.
Let's go.
Ready? We go. What would be your priority as far as the guys that are free agents? And I think that's Daquan, Yan Brown, Corey Davis, and Jonnu Smith. How would you prioritize who is more important than others, and what's the reasons?
For me, guys, I'm probably going with Corey Davis. Hindsight being 2020, the Titans would have picked up his fifth-year option, and that wouldn't even be an issue this year. But they didn't. They went with a Dory. With what Corey Davis has meant, both blocking and catching. I mean, guys, he was within spitting distance of a 1,000-yard season this last year. We saw what he can do catching the ball in this offense. And with more time with Ryan Tannehill, got to think that's only going to get better. And as long as you've got a Derrick Henry on your roster, you need a wide receiver who can help catch the ball. And I know that, you know, in that playoff game, guys, you know, that offense struggled when Corey Davis wasn't able to be on the field because of a, you know, unspecified injury there late in that game. So if you've got him, that helps make AJ Brown, who's also really, really, really good, even better. And that seems to be a piece that helps click in that offense. Now, would I love to have Jonnu Smith? Yes. But we already saw yesterday, Kyle Rudolph's on that market. So, you know, how many other tight ends, you know, does that maybe help bring some prices down for other guys? But I start with Corey Davis on my shopping list.
All right. And then talking about shopping, now you get to shop, but you don't know what's actually available at 22 when you're picking at 22 in the draft. What position? I'm going to not tell you, ask what player, what position group do you think they'll draft at 22?
Edge rusher. I mean, you know, if you see a mock draft and it has the Titans taking an offensive lineman, a tight end, even a wide receiver, pass on by and go to something else. I mean, they need pass rusher. I mean, it's what we were talking about. It's why we were so interested. Could they get J.J. Watt? They have to get better. 19 sacks is just not going to cut it in the NFL. So they've got to get some guys to help get to the quarterback.
Well, what if they sign like two guys? What if they sign Van Noy and another guy for $7 million, whoever it is? And then, you know, I'm just naming names. And then all of a sudden say, well, you know what? We're going to take the best value player at 22. Do you think anything's possible like that could happen?
Absolutely, because here's the thing. We just saw last year that they signed veterans and couldn't, you know, Jadeveon Clowney ends up on IR after 8 games. Nick Beasley, they have to cut him because they're getting nothing out of him. So while you think that you bought something nice on free agency, it's okay to buy something to stick in the freezer, like a new young fresh pass rusher who can be ready to come in, you know, if you've got to throw out the old stuff.
Okay. And by the way, before I throw it back to Mickey, it's been a year now that they had the horrific events here in Nashville. What do you recall during that time of all the craziness and tornadoes and everything else hitting Nashville?
Blaine, I was up for hours that night watching some of the coverage because I had just left downtown Nashville covering a Preds game on that Monday night, get home. And then you could watch, thanks to TV, you could watch the storm, you know, go across Nashville. And the next day I was going over to Cookeville to help talk to people as they were picking through the debris of their homes and helped our news side there for a couple of days. So yeah, And then we get hammered by the pandemic coming down the slot just a week or so later. So it's like it's been a heck of a year for Nashville and the state of Tennessee. But hopefully the light we're starting to see is not a train. It's the end of this tunnel.
Well, do you think that train should be the same type of thing that should be going on with the Predators? Is it time now to move on and move forward and kind of start fire selling at a good rate, but for the right price?
I think the for sale sign went on last night because let's face it, it's just before the game, you lose Ryan Ellis for up to 6 weeks. You lose Luke Kunin for up to 2 to 4 weeks. Ryan Johansson, who just got back, just 4 games back, and he's on the COVID list. So, you know, and you've been trying to stay off, you know, and they've won 4 of 5. And they're still not past 23 in the rankings for the league standing. So, David Poile may not want to do it, but now you've got Soros hurt. We'll find, you know, John Hines is talking as we speak about what he's dealing with. But, you know, let's face it, you know, the everything is telling David Poile the time is now. Start selling. Rebuild is underway.
We're on with Hall of Fame writer Teresa Walker, who covers everything in Tennessee.
Very true, including the Grizz, Grizz fans. She's got you covered there, too. The crazy thing about this Preds roster is this. They still have a bunch of guys who've scored at times in their past, and they just can't score. I think I saw John Glennon tweet something last night that, you know, Matt Duchene might lead the league in deep sighs and staring at the ceiling after missed opportunities. Or if something along those lines, like only John Glennon could say, you know, he's like you, he's a wordsmith. But basically saying, how many times is one just going to slip off of his stick, or is he going to hit the post, or or just push one right or just push it left. Granlund, they have Arvidsson. There's a bunch of dudes on this team who should technically be able to put the puck in the net, and they just haven't done it with any regularity.
Mickey, that's the thing. It's, I don't know if it's they're squeezing the stick so hard that they're trying too much and just missing, but let's be honest. At a certain point, it is what it is. Maybe they've produced all that they can. You know, Matt Duchene, for so many years, it's like Nashville just, he just wants to be in Nashville. Nashville wants him. And now he's here, and this is what we've got. And that's what makes it tough. You know, Duchene's got a big contract. Arvidsson got a big contract because you saw things that made you think that they could produce for you like that, but they're not producing. You look at that roster, it's Philip Forsberg, it's Roman Josi. The youth movement is time. And, you know, I just say this, could the Seattle Kraken maybe please take two guys from the Predators this year? And please, you know, clear some of this contract. But, you know, that's the challenge. And, you know, that's why, guys, as we head into NFL free agency, nothing is guaranteed when you hand out those next deals. You know, you're giving somebody a contract thinking that they'll continue building. And, you know, we've seen Arvidsson deal with injuries, you know, Duchene, that just hasn't really clicked since he got here. So, you know, Johansson has been on a downward slide since he got his deal. So, if any of us, particularly David Poile, had the answer for why, this would be fixed in a heartbeat.
It's funny because when the Vegas Golden Knights had the expansion draft, I remember poor Adam Bingen just getting people nonstop questions to the point that it became like Buck Rising and the IR thing with Malcolm Butler on Twitter about the expansion draft. The Preds fans were so terrified to lose just any number of guys. And at this point, like you said, it's like, hey, Seattle, you want to take a couple? It's amazing how fast things change.
Well, it does. And that's the thing. The simple thing is this. You can look at their scoring, their power play percentages, their penalty kills, where they stand in the standings. And, you know, with the games that other teams have in hand on the Predators, it just mathematically, this team is closer to figuring out where they pick in the draft than, you know, even thinking of competing for a playoff spot. And that's where it kind of makes it very clear, because I was in that news conference when David Poile announced that they weren't going to continue Barry Trotz's coach. And he kind of said that, you know, he understood that when you make the change with coach, that, you know, after that, then he knew from that point on, the pressure was going to be on him as GM to get things in place. Well, he brought in Laviolette, they go to the final, they win the President's Cup. But since then, it's been a steady, you know, trickle the other direction. So, this is a point where they have to make some changes.
I'm with Teresa Walker from the Associated Press here on Blaine and Mickey, talking little Titans, little Preds. Hey, on the way out, I see Blaine, he's waving goodbye. I do have one more Titans question for you. What in the world are they going to do with Isaiah Wilson? What should they do?
Well, what can they do? Cut it. If they could get, you know, if there is a wizard or somebody out there that could help them change him for some magic beans. I mean, let's face it, guys, you know, the relationship is not in great shape. All signs are pointing. My magic eight ball says they cut him. And you know, no one's going to trade for him at this point. I mean, you know, you'd think it would happen by now. So post June 1 designated cut seems to be the likeliest move for his future.
What do they feed pandas before you go? Do you know?
Pandas. I thought that they ate bamboo, but
Okay. So that's what we need, to get him some bamboo. He'll be fine. Bamboo it is for the panda.
Or something.
Teresa, thank you. Anyway, as I said earlier, a great Twitter follow at Teresa M. Walker with the Associated Press, the Hall of Famer, and a whole bunch of other accolades. And people can always follow you, and they'll know why, because you're a great writer and a great person covering sports in this community. Also, one heck of a bathroom remodeler. Great to have you.
Wow. And an HOF. Hey,
thank you, guys. My ego has been sufficiently watered. I appreciate it.
There you go. We're always here for you, T. When we come back, I got a quarterback stat for Blaine. I saw this on The Athletic. For all those teams who are going to invest in these first-round quarterbacks, I got a stat for you. Coming up, Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Get Jason.